That's right. We are right here at my new studio, 637 East Durst, and we are here with the one and only Shrimp City Slim, a.k.a. Gary Irwin, and we are excited to have him here on the show. He is the creative director of all the blues songs and music that he brings to us. Every year he expands it. Every year he changes it up and makes it exciting. And those people that like Vanessa Collier, to get her in here for one performance, that was quite an accomplishment right there, Gary.
Well, you know, thanks, Ann, and you know how much I love Greenwood, so it's really great to be back. Hello, everybody out there. Get ready for the Blues and Barbecue Extravaganza this weekend. Starts at 6 o'clock today at the CenturyLink 10th stage down on Main Street in Uptown Greenwood. You know, I just saw Vanessa down at the tent, and
she gave you a lot of credit for actually giving her that bigger stage. And, you know, since she's been down here in Greenwood and you
yes.
took her under your wing, boom, she's been doing great.
Yeah, and she told me, and I guess I knew this, but I sort of spaced it out. You know how things are. But the event she did for me in Kiowa Island down by Charleston about 3 years ago was her first out-of-state festival gig. Yeah. So now she's doing fantastic. But you talk about traveling. Now, she's out of Chad's Ford, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. which is not too far out of Philadelphia. She and the band drove down to Roanoke last night, Virginia, and rehearsed, then drove down here today for this gig. After the gig, they're going to turn around and go back to Roanoke.
I know.
Just for us.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's all of us here on the team, yourself included, of course, being the voice of the Festival of Discovery, we can all take credit for the good feeling, you know. I mean, that we have such a quality, warm and familiar type event that people are willing to travel a long way. Another act that just got off the phone with him, Wesley Pruitt, out of Canton, Texas. Now, Canton, Texas may ring a bell with everybody because that's where those horrific tornadoes were just a couple of months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
In Wesley's town. Wesley has never played in South Carolina. Based on pure speculation and a little bit of good vibration, he drove all the way out here from Texas. Actually, their last gig was in Arkansas. So they drove from Arkansas to do two nights. Tonight they're at T.W. Boone's, and tomorrow they are at, I have to look on the schedule. Well, never mind. I'll find it by the time we...
By the time we finish.
the schedule is quite complex, as you know.
Absolutely.
Anyway, T.W. Boone's tonight and another gig tomorrow, and then they're going to drive back to Texas. So, I mean, okay, Friday they're at the Mill House from 9 to midnight. So that speaks volumes about what we're trying to do here. People feel it. You know, for one thing, we champion the legends of the genre. I mean, all the elder statesmen and women that we can find, like John D. Holman, who's like 83 years old. We try to present them. But at the same time, we tip our hats to the up-and-coming generation. And there's some fantastic talent out there.
Oh, I tell you what. We interviewed yesterday...
Sandy Lehman?
Sandy Lehman, the mother.
The mom, yeah.
Of the two kids. I want to call them kids. But
they are kids.
Yes, 17 and 20 or something like that.
Logan, the female bass player and singer, is 16. Her brother Cole is 19 on guitar, smoking guitar, and mom's on drums.
I'm telling you. And she's going to be here tomorrow. They're all going to be here tomorrow night.
And they're going to be, I put them on two double bills with the octogenarian blues man, John D. Holman, I just mentioned. So in one evening, within 2 hours, you're going to see from 16 to 83.
I know. It's fabulous. Yeah. You know, and what's interesting, talking to their mom, Sandy, she told me she used to take the headsets and put it on her belly when she was pregnant.
What was she playing? She must have been playing
alternative type music, because it was totally different. So she said her son is the one that actually brought the blues into the family. So, but that was just a great conversation with her. It was awesome.
So, yeah, the youngest performer on the festival this year is 16 and the oldest is 83. And like I say, there will be two opportunities to see that spread of age mm-hmm. on the festival. Then we have all the wonderful road bands and some of our favorites that have come back. And we've got new and sundry interesting things. I know after I leave the studio today, the Reverend Marv Ward will be on to talk about his new book of poetry.
I know.
Not only is he a songwriter and a veteran musician who harkens back to the Newport Festival folk era, the whole thing, but he's been a poet all these years, and now debuting a book of poetry that he's going to be signing and reading from and probably performing a couple songs at McCaslin's Bookshop. Yep. Down on Main Street. That's an independent bookstore, which is another vanishing breed, right?
Absolutely. It yeah. is.
So all these cool things coming together this weekend. And people, you know what? It's all free. All free.
That's the amazing. Even the parking is free.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything's free. Parking is free. Who ever heard of such a thing?
So this is now this is an example of, you know, something for the community that everybody needs to come out. I mean, for all generations, from grandma, grandpa, all the way down to the little kids. There's something to be enjoyed. You like barbecue? We got 91 barbecue teams this year, and 91.
Surely you can find something out of that.
Oh, man. There's got to be something to eat around here.
Exactly. And they're already down there, already setting up now. Have they closed off, do you know yet?
Not when I left downtown or uptown.
It's getting close. They're going to be closing it off 4 or 5 o'clock here this afternoon. So yeah. You'll... Plenty of parking, though, easy to get around. And the beauty of it is it's all right there in that square area, right, called Uptown.
About three years ago, we elected to close off Main Street, which was a big plus. Because you remember, we used to have the barbecue teams over on the side.
Right.
Now we just dominate the entire center of the thing. So you can mill around from one side to the other. In other words, people, if you can imagine, okay, where the County Bank and the Bank of America are on that side of Main Street, which would be the, would that be the west side? I guess so.
I guess.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. No, maybe north side. So from there all the way over to almost to City Hall, you've got yeah. sprawl of barbecue. You've got the CenturyLink main stage. And then all around the periphery up and down Main Street and down Maxwell and Waller, you've got all the small venues, intimate venues.
Right.
Where you can go have a nice meal, a glass of wine or a beer or whatever, relax, and hear the great music inside in the air conditioning.
I'm telling you.
You got everything.
You do. And it really is a testament to you bringing the blues in and all of our people right here organizing the barbecue and all the people that come together to do this, whether it's CPW, Public Works. I mean, the place is always clean. I think it's an amazing fact. And after the event is over, you won't even know that it's been there.
No. And the team, like you say, the team is amazing. I mean, talk about motivated. Charlie Baroneau, the town manager, and Laura Hudson of the Uptown Greenwood Development Corporation, and all the rest of the great folks affiliated with them, they do such a terrific job. And you talk about vision for the future. Charlie sends me an email like 3 days ago. Hey, Shrimp, I got your hotel already booked for next year. It's like, what? That was right. Well, that was right after he sent me the dates. We're going to be a little... Next year, we're going to be a little bit later in the month. I don't know if you know that.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're going to be the 12th through the 14th.
Oh, great.
Could have something to do with...
A little bit of space in between the 4th.
Yeah, 4th of July is, you know, I mean, this has been a... By the time all this is over, it will have been a very long week for a lot of people.
Right, exactly.
But I look at it as like an extended vacation.
Really? It's an extended vacation for you? And let's see, when are you performing? And you've been doing all this, extended vacation?
Yeah.
Can't wait to get back to Charleston on a normal schedule, can you? And you're leaving town, I understand, in 9 days. What are you doing?
Well, I'm being sponsored by the United States Embassy in La Paz, Bolivia, to perform on Feisty Blues Bolivia, which is an annual blues festival in Bolivia. This will be the 8th annual. And I'm really the only American on the bill. There's also artists from Chile, Peru, Argentina, Brazil, and of course Bolivia. So we're going to have a kind of a meeting of musics, if you will. But everyone on the festival is passionate about the blues. And let me take that as a little opportunity to again mention that blues is a world music. Now, blues started here.
Well, I was going to say, it started in America, didn't it?
Well, it started in the rural South,
yeah.
You know, with the African-American experience. And musically speaking, the musicologists say, well, it's like the rhythms of Africa with some of the harmonies of Europe combined with stories, day-to-day stories of the human condition. Now, that is so powerful and so universal that it's connected with folks all over the world, including Bolivia.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, let's see, who is it that says he plays world blues?
Peter Harper.
Yep. That's what he talked about, was world blues.
Well, he's from Australia.
Yep.
And now he makes his home in Grass Lake, Michigan.
Yeah.
And him and his wife, Bobby, she's a charmer, they've got a cool thing going on. When I first booked Peter was in 1997 on the Blind Willie Blues Festival in Thompson, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And he was a straight-ahead blues band. I mean, harmonica, guitar, bass, and drums. Now he has totally incorporated the didgeridoo into his act. And to folks out there who don't know what that is, that's an Aboriginal instrument from Australia. It looks like a hollowed-out tree trunk that you kind of...
He says you have to blow out and blow in at the same time in order to make the noise. And it took him about 8 months to get it down.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you play a kazoo, you don't really blow into the kazoo. You kind of hum into it. And mm-hmm. so you're letting your breath enter the instrument. And that's the way it is with the didgeridoo. But it's much more complicated because, like, the one he plays is probably about 5 feet long. So, I mean, it's, like, really large.
Right.
And so he sets up like a cool kind of drone with that. Then the band starts kind of getting funky, percolating stuff underneath that. And pretty soon, like, the whole rhythm's going. And then the song comes over the top, the vocals. And it's great. You're going to love it. And they're doing two shows. They're playing on the CenturyLink main stage.
Saturday.
On Saturday.
7 to 8:15 p.m.
That's right. And the night before, they are at T.W. Boone's.
From 9 to midnight. Yep, yes. On Friday night. So.
By the way, Tony and everybody, T.W. Boone, say hello. And they're ready to rock and roll. They've got plenty of cold beverages and good food happening. So all the restaurants, hey, Buena Vista Cafe.
There
we go. We got Southern Soul is new. We got El Maya over on Waller Avenue.
Yep.
We've got Mill House. Of course, we got
Montague's,
a new addition to the lineup. We've got Howard's on Main. We've got the Inn on the Square.
Flynn's on Maxwell.
Flynn's on Maxwell. Two great shows. 8 o'clock tonight, it's, I believe, Lightning Wells. And tomorrow, it's... I can't remember.
I can't believe you can't remember 50 acts. And how many different sets are going on in this whole thing? Do you have any idea?
Oh, 51 sets. 51 shows.
51 shows.
And I think
how many blues artists are here?
A total of 26 acts.
Okay.
But you know something, Ann, and maybe I'll do that tonight, like I got nothing else to do. I'm gonna add up how many individual musicians are involved. But I would say if we have 26 acts, we have some solos, but we might have 75, 80 musicians.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And most of these people are from, they're all from outside Greenwood.
Yep, exactly. So.
And, you know, there's, I guess, can I clear the air about this? And
sure.
Everywhere and every place and every time I do a festival, because I'm from Charleston.
Right.
I do them down there, Camden, Florence, here in Greenwood. A lot of the local musicians, they say, well, how come we're not involved? Well, an event like this is designed to be on the national platform. These are artists who travel the world, travel North America. They've recorded many albums. They've been the press books on some of these people are just huge.
Mm-hmm.
These are notable artists that are rarely seen in this kind of environment or in a town like this. So with all respect to local players, including myself in Charleston, okay, I don't feel left out if somebody puts on an event and I'm not on it because I'm gigging all the time anyway.
Sure.
You can always see Shrimp City Slim. I mean, when people come see me, aren't you sick of me now?
Just about every Sunday at the Mills House, isn't it?
At the Mills, and every Wednesday. Aren't you sick of me yet?
No.
I kid people. I say, oh, you come in here the same 25 tunes done over again exactly the same way.
You don't ever do anything exactly the same way.
And
in fact,
the same
you've
tunes.
Got a new CD out.
Yeah, it's called Tidal Pool. It's about walking down on Folly Beach, Ann.
Yeah. It's very good. Very good. I've listened to parts of it and everything. Really enjoyed it. But you're also playing, aren't you?
Yes, I'm playing solo in the CenturyLink main tent stage tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Is that the start? Was that when it starts tomorrow? Because that's a change in the, over the last couple of years, having music going in all the different venues starting around lunchtime, 11, 12.
Exactly.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years ago, we would start the tent maybe in like the late afternoon, 4 or 5.
Right.
But we thought, let's try the noontime slot. We have big crowds out there the entire day.
Right.
So we start the tent at 11, and we go until 10 o'clock at night. And then after that, the clubs and the restaurants, well, more the clubs, go until midnight.
Sure.
So your dinner shows are like 7 to 9.
Right.
Or maybe 8 to 11. And then the 9 to 12 on Friday and Saturday night are the club shows. So you can do the whole day in the tent. You can do the club shows and the dinner things in the evening. And I hasten to also say that the experience you're going to have are totally different. Now, when you see an artist playing in the tent stage at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, obviously what they're doing there is going to be different and feel different than at 10 o'clock at night at the Mill House, for example. And by the way, Wall Street and the Blues Brokers featuring Reverend Marv tonight the Mill House, my favorite pizza place in the whole world.
Yes.
Starting 8
the
o'clock.
Whole world?
Well.
Greenwood.
Greenwood County.
That was a good plug.
Yeah.
That's right.
I delicious mean, you know, food.
But, yeah, but,
and they brew their own beer.
What could be better? And then, of course, you're going to be playing at Polo's Friday and Saturday nights, right?
Yes. I'm doing a little cameo with my friends Blues Deluxe. They've got a brand new album out, by the way, called...
Yes, they do. And I think I have it here, Things to Come.
Things to Come is the EP that came out before that.
Okay.
And I'll make sure John gets you a copy of the CD. But it's a full-length album with the band and great original music.
It was good.
So I'm gonna set up my piano. I'm gonna do some cameo spots with them while I kind of run to and fro to take care of the other artists. But that's gonna be a lot of fun. That's at Polo's, and that's gonna be outside in a little kind of patio there in front of the restaurant.
You know, the thing about it is, and the other good thing is, of course, now with the if you get a wristband and you pay $1 each day and you get the proper cup, you can go all the way up and down and drink your beer and sit outside and enjoy it. So that's good, too.
That's right. And, for example, you can come to Polo's when we're playing, get your beer, listen for a few minutes, and just take your cup and walk down to the next venue and beyond.
Yeah.
It's a great setup. And that's more evidence of how the town is into all this and so supportive and so cohesive in their attitude and their philosophy about this kind of thing.
Well, it's a huge success, and I think everybody ought to be out there. I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was I was talking to, and they go, well, I hope some of the people will come out. And I said, well, how about 38,000? Will that do you?
Is that enough?
Yeah. One of the artists I was talking to, I don't remember who it was, 38,000. Will that do you? I think it's going to be pretty busy there.
Well, and for that reason, almost all the artists who perform here want to come back.
Yes, they sure do.
And after we finally shake hands and they're getting in the truck to drive off to the next city or whatever, it's like, can we come back next year? I'm serious.
Yeah. Well, it's an appreciation fact on both levels. I mean, we appreciate them coming. They appreciate us. And nothing could be finer, and I can't say this enough, than how this is all put together, all the team that it takes to do this, from the people picking up the trash to the people doing the creative, like yourself, getting everything put together. Everybody makes it so great. And, to see our city manager, Charlie Barrineau, out there, picking up trash if that's what needs to be done, or whatever needs to be done, he's right there, and that's what makes a difference.
I can't think of anybody I know who works that hard. He's always on it. I mean, in Charleston, I can come home from a gig at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll get a text from him about make sure that Vanessa can keep the 5 o'clock slot for her video spot down at the art center. Wow, does this guy ever sleep?
No. Not until it's over, and then I think he got married, I think, right after the Blues Cruise several years ago, so it'll be anniversary time for Charlie.
And they have little children in the house and all that. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, but anyways. Well, listen, I know you are excited about this trip. Is your wife Solange going with you to Bolivia?
Yes, she is. She's never been to South America before. I was in Bolivia in 1976 when I was a bum. I used to be a hobo and hippie traveler, I would work, back when I was in my 20s, I would work a meaningless day job for as long as it would take to store up some money. Then I would take my worldly possessions, which would take up about the size of that. You folks can't see it, but Anne's got a cabinet over here against the wall. It would take up about that much cubic space in somebody's basement. And then I would hit the road until the money ran out, and then I'd come back and get another useless job and do the same thing over and over again.
So, and that's why you wrote a hose and a broom.
That's right.
That's all you needed was a hose and a broom,
but
right?
Baby, you know I'm a cherry master. Don't
you? Yeah, now I know you are. I'll have to play that song for everybody here in a little bit.
Yeah, watch it.
We got
a family audience here.
Well, we have a good time here on WCRS. And I tell you what, it's always great to be part of the team on this. And we'll be doing our thing, walking around 7 to 9, and we hope we catch up with you.
Well, I'll look for you.
Yeah, have a good time on that. So what's up first tonight? Tonight's opening night.
Yes, well, the CenturyLink 10th stage starts at 6 o'clock with the Sauce Boss. Now, he did a fantastic job yesterday at the soup kitchen. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yes. Sauce Boss is Bill Wharton. He's a very gifted singer-songwriter, slide guitar player from deep down in Florida. And his shtick for the last 40 years has been to perform on stage and cook a cauldron of gumbo, Louisiana gumbo.
As he's singing. Oh, cool.
He has people come up and help stir the pot and all this kind of stuff. And then at the end of the show, he distributes the gumbo to everybody.
Now,
on top of that, he also makes his own hot sauce called Liquid Summer. He has several varieties of that. And he sells those as part of his merchandise, like with the CDs and all that. But he did that yesterday at the soup kitchen here in Greenwood as part of a 501c3 nonprofit he has called Planet Gumbo.
I love it.
So wherever he goes, he does kind of like an outreach for the...
So they had gumbo yesterday?
They had gumbo at the soup kitchen.
Oh, wow. That is so super.
And so he's going to do that again tonight. He's going to be cooking gumbo. And then he's at Howard's tomorrow doing the same thing. Howard's on Main from 9 to midnight. And let me tell you, I don't know how many folks out there in Radio Land know gumbo, but this is the real deal. Louisiana Cajun Bayou gumbo, the real stuff. It's not like in Charleston, we have the okra gumbo.
Right.
That's a whole nother thing, you know.
Okay.
This is the Louisiana gumbo, and it is delicious.
Wow. So you'll be tasting some tomorrow evening?
I'm going to taste some tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. He's playing 6 to 7 on the CenturyLink.
So he'll be mixing it up on the main stage tonight?
Right. Yeah. And at 7 o'clock, he'll serve. And that's when Vanessa hits. Vanessa and her band are in town. They'll hit at 7 o'clock. And then after that, we go out on the... So let me just kind of tell you what the lay of the land is. So we start in the CenturyLink tent stage at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then we go Thursday night. Millhouse, as I mentioned earlier, has Wall Street and the Reverend Marv Ward. That's going to be a lot of fun starting at 8 o'clock. Sundance Gallery tonight. The only show of Donald Caesar, who's actually from Lafayette, Louisiana. He's comes from the long family of the Ardoins, which is a Creole family of quite great legend. Tonight, Thursday night at 8 o'clock, Norman Taylor, acoustic blues man over at Flynn's on Maxwell. And then on,
we had a good time talking to him. Yep.
He's a wonderful guy. Montague's over on Hampton Avenue. This is their first year in the Blues Cruise, and a great duo from Chicago, Studebaker John and Earl Howell, tonight, 8 o'clock. Also, tonight, Howard's on Main. This is going to be a real rockin' show, the all-girl band from Kansas called Katie and the Girls.
Okay.
And that's a barn burner.
Look out.
That's a barn burner. Wesley Pruitt Band from Canton, Texas, over at T.W. Boone's. And let's see what else we got. Oh, In on the Square tonight, the one and only... appearance of Lucky Man Beal, the one-man honky-tonk band.
He's cool.
And he's going to be in the Fox and Hound Lounge. Also Thursday at Buffalo Grill, and it's going to be upstairs this year. Lightning Wells, one of the foremost interpreters of traditional Piedmont blues.
I love Lightning Wells, and he's going to be here tomorrow afternoon on the show with us. Yep.
I talked to him earlier today, and he said he's really looking forward to it. I wanted to let him know where you are now.
Right.
Yeah, and he's looking forward to it.
Great.
So, ladies and gentlemen, everywhere you go, all the time, and then starting in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow and Saturday, it's going to be blues all day and then blues into the night.
You know, the thing about going to the CenturyLink main stage, and I've been hitting this point, is you can go get yourself some barbecue, sit down there, and you don't have to move. because the acts come right to you all afternoon. You know, that's the great thing about the CenturyLink main stage. If you want to just get a taste of what's going on out there and then pick up an act and go see them somewhere else, it's a great place for that too.
We have added and increased the amount of seating capacity we have down there in terms of tables and chairs under a tent. We've got some of that now. Or you could just get a plate of something and you say you and your family or friend or whatever, go sit down in the folding chairs inside the tent facing the stage. And maybe you're doing a taster's choice while you get up and go get a couple more samples, let your friend hold your seat for you. And you can sit there all afternoon, like you
That's
say.
It,
you just, yeah.
It's just
and we
great.
See and we see some people that are there at 11 in the morning and they more or less lock down their position until 10 o'clock at night. It's amazing. Great.
Well, you know what, Gary? We couldn't do it without you. And so glad. This is the, what, 16th?
17th. Yeah.
17th one. And I tell you what, for how many blues groups do we have the first year?
You know,
Paula Brooks, yeah.
When Paula and I started, I think we had maybe four acts and maybe two venues. That was it.
And that was huge back then. And nobody thought it would survive. And look at it today.
Well, you know, back in 17 years ago, Uptown really had a lot of vacant storefronts.
Yeah, sure did. Yep.
And, I mean, there wasn't much happening. But, you know, build it and they will come. If you believe in it, it will happen.
And that's what's happened here with the Festival of Discovery and Blues Cruise.
That's right.
Thanks so much, Gary, for stopping by. It's been 10 years since I've been on the air this month.
Wow, congratulations.
Every day in and day out. Yep. Started 10 years ago in July.
Yep. Wow.
Time flies.
Thank you for all your hard work in promoting, and you are the voice of the Festival of Discovery.
Thank you
very much. I know a lot of the artists have really enjoyed talking to you, and I think their audience, there's been a ripple effect with this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of folks in the last few days have been listening to Greenwood, South Carolina radio. Mm-hmm. And these are people all over the world, literally all over the world.
That's true. We've seen a lot of increase in our streaming. Yep.
So you advertisers and prospective advertisers, get hip and get on board with CRS.
Hey, Gary Irwin. Have a great time. I'll see you, I hope, Friday night. I'll see you running around like crazy. Have a good time tonight. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Ann.
All right. We're going to be back with the Reverend Marv Ward. Don't you go away. This is WCRS.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Five. Are you comfortable there?
Sure.
Yep,
sure.
Okay. Let's see, we have Reverend Marv Ward with us this afternoon, Marvelous Marv, right here. And how you doing, Marv?
I'm doing well, dear. How are you?
I'm good. All right, and let's see, four. And what have you been up to today? When did you get in, today?
I got in earlier today and took some books by McClaslin's, where I'll be on Friday at noon.
Okay, I think we better move that up a little closer.
To do some...
Okay.
To do some Friday, do some signings with my new book that just came out, One Lone Minstrel.
What made you decide to write the book?
Oh, I didn't have a choice.
You didn't have a choice?
No. Arado. See, she shows up at my door, and then the next thing I know, I'm waking up, all the liquor's gone, and the bed sheets are all torn up. And there's poetry written on the walls. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, very interesting. Very interesting.
Now, this is the book is a collection that basically encompasses my whole life. It should be three times as big as it is. But the thing about writing poetry on the walls is absolutely true.
Okay.
Back.
I got a good story to go with that.
Okay. But back in the...
Okay. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, and I have Reverend marvelous Marv Ward with us here this afternoon. And not only is he a blues artist, but he writes poetry, which I guess you kind of need a little poetry to go along with some music, right, Marv?
Well, it's just, I've always said, the ones that rhyme, they become the songs. The ones that don't rhyme, they become the poems.
Well, that's a good way to do it. But how did you, I'm looking at your book, and before we went on the air, you were telling me that this book cover, I really like it. It shows a park bench and a big old tree. And where is this at?
That's Touro Park in Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay. And why is this the cover?
Well, I used to spend a lot of time on that bench back in the day. It was kind of my little spot, and
On the bench?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
I mean,
you claimed it.
I claimed it. That was my spot, and a lot of the poetry was written on that bench, and a lot of the songs that I have written were written on that bench.
Now, something else significant happened underneath the tree, I understand.
Oh yeah. Do you want me to tell you the whole story?
I'd like to hear the whole story. I think I heard the shortened version, but tell me the whole story.
Well, back in the day, I think this was 1968.
Okay. Telling your age, but okay.
Oh, I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm past all that.
Okay.
I was playing six nights a week in a little club down on Thames Street in Newport. And my habit would be I'd wake up around 10:30, walk up past Touro Park to go to the Newport Creamery and get a cup of coffee and an English muffin.
Okay.
That's how I'd start my day. And I, you know, when you're playing six nights a week like that, you kind of lose track of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't, you know, some days you don't even know what day it is, you know.
Right.
But I got to the park, and all of a sudden, the park was full of hippies. I mean, there were hippies all over the place, and I'm going,
it's been taken over by hippies?
I said, what in the world? Where did all these freaks come from? And then I remembered, oh, it's the Folk Festival week. Okay. And so I look out over the park, and I see this long, dark-haired young lady laying there on the grass, and I thought it was my friend Bill McHenry's girlfriend, Gail.
Okay.
So I start off running, and I'm running. I get up to full speed, and I take a big jump and land on her and roll her over and kiss her right on the mouth. It was Joan Baez.
So did you introduce yourself after the kiss?
Oh, yes. And the thing was, she was great. She was great. We stayed there and chatted for about 2 hours, you know.
Well, anybody that would jump on you and give you a kiss, you ought to talk to for a while and get to know.
Yeah. And she was great. She was just really good. I had the pleasure of doing the old Dave Garraway show with her a few years later. It was about 1974. And this is after she had cut her hair and she had gotten married and her husband David was in jail and all that.
Right.
And she had kind of changed. She had an attitude.
Right.
She did not remember me.
She did not remember that role in the park?
She did not remember the role in the park. Story of my life. And, you know, you roll a girl in the park and she doesn't even remember you. That's why I write the poetry.
Sure, that's right. Well, how did you end up on the same show with her?
I was playing at that time with a poet, the Reverend Malcolm Boyd.
Uh-huh.
He wrote a book that was very popular at the time called Are You Running With Me, Jesus?
Okay.
And he liked to have a guitar player kind of noodle behind him while he was reciting his poetry. And for about a year, I was designated noodler. And we did the Dave Garraway show with Joan Baez and John Hartford.
Wow.
It was fun. My face never made it to the screen, but my hands were on for about 10 seconds.
That was one of the early TV shows.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He, this is after he had left the Today Show.
Uh-huh. Right.
And went to Boston and started his own thing in Boston.
Right.
And but it was a national show, Dave Garraway show.
Yep. There you go. Well, that's pretty awesome.
It was fun. It was fun. Large time.
Large time. And so you are actually from Virginia, though, originally.
Originally from Northern Virginia, what they call the Northern Neck. My family goes way back there, back to the 1600s. And you know, you get that wanderlust in you, and you start wandering around.
So what do you, you know, as a guy that's been around, how would you look back on your life?
Oh, carefully. Very carefully.
Carefully.
Yes. Yeah. How would I look back on my life?
I mean, what do you think about, you know, when you look back and you say, you know, I think a lot of people say, God, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that.
Well, have you seen that TV commercial where the girl is eating a Milky Way bar and she tattoos the guy, no regrets?
Right.
Well, that's me. I got no regrets.
No regrets. Okay. So you've had a very interesting life.
I have been blessed. I've been very blessed through the course of my life.
And so you wrote this book, it's a collection of poetry, and it is, I unfortunately have not had a chance to read it. You did just bless me with a copy of this, and I truly appreciate it. What's been the response of the book?
Very good. First off, let me just say that this is something that really actually happened by chance.
By chance.
Yeah, I have written poetry and everything, and then, you know, had it all collected. And I was talking to the people who own Muddy Ford Press. They're out of Chapin, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, you should. They also have a little magazine called Jasper Magazine that mm-hmm. they do. It's an arts magazine. And they said, you should submit some of the poetry. And I went, well. And they said, oh, yeah, you should. So I gave them the manuscript of all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the poems were in the magazine. And I figured, well, you know, so much for that. And then all of a sudden I get a text that says, oh, yeah, we're publishing your book.
Well, you know, when you write poetry, did you? You were starting to tell me before we went on the air about how you write it on the wall. Was that a true story or
not? Yes, that's very true.
Okay.
Back in the day, in the late 60s and early 70s, I was very much into Zen philosophy.
Okay.
Started off reading Alan Watts, and that got me into reading the heavier stuff. So, you know, D.T. Suzuki, the whole thing. And according to Zen...
Yes.
You do not own the words. You are just a conduit for the words.
Uh-huh.
And once you write the words down, you don't own them anymore. They're free.
Free.
They're talked to. It's why the Japanese poets,
right,
when they do write stuff, they write it on rice paper. Because if you are writing on rice paper and you hesitate or stop, it tears the paper. So it has to be completely free.
Free.
The other thing they like to do is they write poems in the snow. There will be hermit monks that live on the side of the mountain. If you want to read the poetry, you have to climb the mountain in the snowstorm so that you can read the poetry.
That's a commitment.
Right. So I ended up writing, I would say, at least a whole nother book of poetry on the walls of places that I lived. Landlords don't like that, by the way.
You
know,
just money.
Just a word of caution to young poets out there, that landlords frown on the writing on the walls thing,
so,
especially in permanent marker.
Now, just out of curiosity, did you take those poems with you, or did you leave them on the wall and they just got painted over and they were free?
They were gone. They were gone.
Oh, my God.
The other thing I used to do, a young lady, a good friend of mine named Jeannie Levy,
mm-hmm.
She was a poet and an artist also, and we would write on bar napkins.
Yeah.
But when we left, we would just leave the bar napkins. And so
Do you ever regret that you lost some of this? Do you ever go back and go, you know, when I was there in that place, that, I wish I'd kept that poem.
That might be a regret. You know, I would. There are some things that I wish could be. Now, a couple of them have survived in the book because they were the ones that I could remember from memory.
Right.
And so they reappeared in the book.
Okay.
But the title poem being a prominent one. But it was, you know, it was just the way things were rolling at the time.
It was a different time,
it
wasn't
it? It was a very different time. Oh, yes.
You know, the
cliche is that if you can remember the 60s, you weren't there. You know, well, it's the truth.
I'm talking to the Reverend Marv Ward, and he is wound up this afternoon. I got to tell you a story that you will appreciate. In this bakery in, I think it was in New Jersey, a couple had a bakery, and the wife had her office in the back room. And when her husband would piss her off, she'd go back and write his indiscretions on the wall back there.
Wow.
Okay. And then they got ready to sell the building. Well, her husband had never been back to her office, so he didn't know that she had this room covered with all the things that he has done wrong over the lifetime of their marriage. So now they're selling the building, and he is bringing some people around to see the place. And they walk in, and he sees for the first time this room written on the walls, all his indiscretions over the years. And he looked at him, and he went, oh, my God. He goes, no problem. We will paint this wall. You'll never see it again. The people go, the deal is off if you change anything about this room. And this room became known as the relationship room in the bakery forever and ever.
Excellent. That's great. That's a great story.
Yeah. And that's why when you started to tell me, I said, I got to tell you
that's a great story.
Yeah, so now you live, where do you live now?
In Columbia, South Carolina.
So you are relatively close.
Yes, an hour and a half or so away, depending on how fast I drive.
And you are having a book signing. You are having a book signing tomorrow, right?
We're going to do two.
Okay.
The first one's at McClaslin's at noon, from noon to 1:30.
Right.
And then I'm going to be at the Arch Center at 4 tomorrow.
Right. And they're also doing, they're having another guy that's written a book about hash, right?
Right.
Yes.
He's, I guess, associated with the barbecue end of the festival.
Right.
Right.
So this is going to be an excellent opportunity to come by, get the books. Are you going to be doing any poetry or anything there?
Oh, if people ask me, I'd be glad to read some.
Yeah.
Sing them a song. They buy a book, I'll do both.
Well, you know, Marv, I think we've got a couple of minutes. What, is there one or two poems here that really kind of speak to you, or is the One Lone Minstrel, can you give us a little bit of poetry here this afternoon?
Sure, I'll read one for you.
Okay, great. That would be great. That's his, now the book hasn't been out that long, has it?
No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay, it's brand new out there, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, he's
looking
up.
This is the title track. This
title track. You can tell you're a musician.
Yeah. This is actually was written for a couple reasons, but it was written in response to Abbie Hoffman. Remember when Abbie Hoffman, after Altamont declared that the hippies were dead, that the hippie movement was gone, and now there were yippies?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Well, all right.
Yeah. Well, so I said, okay, Abby. But anyway. And it goes, so sad to see one lone minstrel playing for the ghost of butterflies who have flown with the cold. Only shadows dance now in those glades of elven revelry, and the trees do not speak, for there is no one to listen.
Wow. That's so simple. So simple, but so true. Yeah, that's great. All right, you got another one there you want to share with us?
Yeah, I got one that you'll like here.
All right, I'm waiting.
Let me find the page real quick here.
Okay.
Here we go.
Festival's getting ready to start at 6 o'clock here tonight, so be ready. It's going to be awesome coming up. In fact, tonight, Reverend Marv Ward is going to be at the Mill House from 8 to 11 tonight. Now, you sell your books when you're performing?
Okay. Well, not at the exact same time, but, you know.
They can get your books.
Yes, they can get the books. And, of course, I have four CDs, solo CDs out, and I'll have them with me, too.
Okay. All right. So if you're at the Mill House tonight, you'll be able to see Reverend Marvelous Marv Ward.
I've got the deal, the festival deal, Ann.
What's the festival deal?
The festival deal is anybody that wants them can get all four CDs.
Yes.
And the book for $50.
Wow. That is a deal.
Yeah.
That is a big deal. And your CDs are great, by the way.
So bring $100 and get two copies of everything.
Or buy one group and spend the rest on food and beer.
There you go.
We got it.
All right. This is called She Sways So Sensuously. Do you like trees, I said? I have a thing for the trees. They're the dinosaurs of the plant world. She stared at me as if I had lost all touch with reality, which I had, but not at that moment. It happened on a warm summer night in 1968. I was wrestling with a cardboard box in Touro Park when the trees first spoke to me. Their words filled me with terror and ecstasy and life. The perception and loving of has never been quite the same. I frolicked around the park that night to the choruses of their songs until I found myself covered with a chocolate milkshake in the company of a somewhat distraught Earth Mother at the Night Owl Cafe. I want to dance, she said. I did too, but to a different fiddler. My fiddler plays the wind and soars aloft, chased by Chagall's horse, dances with the little people at the Plough and Stars, and is not afraid to pluck the heartstrings. She sways so sensuously, and I hear the trees singing, rustling with my fiddler's wind, and I dream of the lightness of love floating above the green leaves, swirling hand in hand with romance's tumultuous tornado. I'm starting to feel the liquor, she says. Will you be offended if I ask you to take me home? And I hear the old sycamore groan and whisper, persevere. Okay, I say, but no milkshakes on the way.
I do like that one a lot. I like that one a lot. That is great, Marv. I really like that one. I love trees, and so the idea of the sensuality and everything, that's great.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And, of course, they're all true stories.
They're all true stories, yes. So we can read these and have pictures in our brain about how this was all going on.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, you have to live a colorful life to be able to do, I think it's very hard if you haven't done some of these things to be able to live this life.
Well, you know, all the old blues guys will tell you, they say that if you're going to sing and play the blues, you have to live the blues. You have to have it in your heart. You can't just all of a sudden, I'm going to sing the blues if you have never had the blues. And having the blues that's a whole different thing. There's a wonderful song, as a matter of fact, I heard it this morning, Etta James tune called Life, Love, and the Blues. Mm-hmm. It's a great tune.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it's all about. You got to live it. If you're gonna preach about it, you got to live it.
Well, you know, and I think that's a thing that a lot of young people are missing in today's world. They don't, you know, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and tell something. When I was in college, we used to hitch everywhere. You know, hitchhiking?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't do that today.
Oh,
too
no.
Scary.
Yeah.
But back when I was growing up and everything, I once hitched from Greensboro, North Carolina, yes, folks, it's true, all the way to Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
And it was part of an experience. It was part of life and living.
Oh, yeah.
And today, I think kids would go, oh, my God, well, I wouldn't hitch today because it's not safe. But so many kids don't go out and really experience life.
Right. The times have really changed. The times have really changed.
They are a change.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's a guy that got it right, that's for sure.
Absolutely, you know, he did, yeah. So.
But I wanted to tell you about tonight.
Yes.
At the Mill House, Wall Street and the Blues Brokers, one of the best blues bands I've ever been in. We got playing bass a guy named Michael Mahoney. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, he played with a band called the New Potato Caboose. They toured with the Grateful Dead for a couple of years. On the drums, we are blessed to have with us a longtime Nashville studio drummer. Mm-hmm. And one of his claims to fame was he was on the road with Billy Joel Royal for a number of years. His name's Tommy Toglio. Everybody calls him T-Bird.
T-Bird, okay.
And then, of course, there's Jim Coulard, Wall Street. And you have to ask Jim how he got the nickname Wall Street.
Okay.
I can't tell that tale.
Okay.
But he's turning into one of the better harp players in the South. Really energetic, really a lot of fun to play with. And one of the things I like most is we have a good time.
You know, that's the other thing. You know, you always see blues players. They are having a good time.
Right.
And the intimate venues that you play in, like the Mill House, I mean, everybody can be part of what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a good time, eat pizza, drink beer, play blues. I mean, what else can you want from life?
Now, I need to ask you, how do you get to be in the different venues? Does Gary just say, okay, Reverend Marv, you and your group are going to be over here at Mill's House? Or can you say, this year, can I be at Mill House? How does this work?
I think Gary does a wonderful job of matching the venues to the acts. And I'm sure he does that in consultation with the venues.
Right.
And he does a wonderful job at getting all that right. And so he just says, hey, I've got a spot at the Mill House. And nobody goes, no, I can't do that. Everybody goes, yes,
yeah,
great.
Let me go.
Yeah. I'll have one all the way.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is always a pleasure to sit down and talk to you. It's great to have you in studio this year.
It's good to be in your new digs.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's going to change a little bit. I got a lot of artwork and stuff to go on the walls, but we are here, and everybody is complimenting the sound quality and everything, so we're thrilled. And you have got a gig tonight at the Mill House from 8 to 11, and then tomorrow at noon to 1:30, you'll be at McCaslin's and at the Art Center at 4. And I guess you'll be out there eating some barbecue too, won't you?
Oh yeah, definitely want to catch Studebaker John when he's on the CenturyLink stage in the middle of the afternoon. So it'll be perfect. He's right in the perfect spot for me to catch him in between my things. So, and I really like Studebaker John. He's great. And then another great friend of mine is also here.
Who is that?
Playing with the 83-year-old
Holman,
yes.
Right.
Tad Walters.
I don't think I know him.
Oh, Tad is a great blues man.
Wow.
He's kind of younger fellow, but when he's not doing his own thing, he plays bass for Bob Margolin and tours with Bob.
Wow.
Great blues man, Tad Walters, if you get a chance to catch him. And come see me.
Absolutely. Go see him and get a book. And will you sign those books too, won't you?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
You'll be having a good time tonight. I love listening to you and love your CD. We have played some of your songs this week and we'll be playing some more. So I think we will go ahead and wrap it up. Marvelous Reverend Marv Ward, thanks for coming in this evening.
All right, Ann, I just want to tell you, you don't have to lay under a tree. I'll give you a kiss any old time.
Thank you, folks. I got to go now. This is WCRS in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.